Hey everyone, and welcome back. We're doing a deep dive today on something, you know, a phrase we all use probably way too often.
Yeah.
And that is, I'm fine. Sounds pretty harmless, right? I'm fine, but we're going to unpack why those two little words can actually be kind of loaded.
Right.
So the source material for this deep dive is an article called The Dangerous Lie We All Tell: Why I'm Fine Is Hurting You More Than You Think. And this article, it really is a bit of an eye-opener.
Yeah.
You know, it argues that I'm fine can actually be more harmful than helpful because it acts as this this mask for what's really going on inside.
Right.
Have you ever, I know I have, but have you ever found yourself saying I'm fine when you were anything but fine?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Like all the time.
I think it's it almost like a reflex.
Totally.
You know, when somebody asks, how are you? It's just, oh, I'm fine.
Yeah.
You don't even think about it.
And it's interesting because, you know, the article points out that we're practically conditioned to say, I'm fine.
Yeah. Because of all these societal pressures.
Yeah.
Like we're taught that to be vulnerable is to be weak.
Right.
So we put on this I'm fine mask.
It's like armor.
Totally. To appear strong and in control.
You know, and the article even mentions that this can be especially prevalent in certain cultures or certain work environments where there's, you know, a high value placed on appearing stoic or appearing like you've got it all together.
Yeah, like never showing weakness. Right.
Right. Exactly.
And it's such a weird irony because the article really points this out that like we, by trying to be strong, we're preventing ourselves from developing genuine strength. It's like we're so afraid to show any cracks in our armor that it's like we think it's a sign of defeat or something.
Right. And I think that's where this whole idea of what true strength actually is gets kind of distorted.
Yeah.
You know, because true strength is really about acknowledging your struggles and your challenges, not pretending they don't exist.
Right. You know, it's about being able to be honest with yourself and others.
Yeah.
About what you're going through.
It's not about just, you know, putting on this brave face all the time.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we've all done that. And then you just feel worse inside.
Well, yeah, because you're essentially living a lie.
Mm-hmm.
You're living a lie to yourself and to the people around you.
Right.
And that can be incredibly draining.
And all of that emotional suppression, all that stuff you're pushing down.
Yeah.
It has to go somewhere, right? It doesn't just magically disappear.
No, it's like trying to hold a beach ball underwater.
Oh, I like that.
You can keep it submerged for a while, but eventually
it's going to pop up.
It's going to pop up and probably with a lot more force than if you had just let it float in the first place.
So, okay. So ignoring our emotions backfires.
Yeah.
But like, what's the real harm?
Okay. Well, studies show that chronic emotional suppression can have serious consequences.
Yeah.
Like we're talking a weakened immune system.
Oh, wow.
Increased risk of heart disease. Even digestive issues.
Oh, wow.
Your body's internal stress response is just constantly on high alert.
Yeah.
It's like your insides are screaming, hey, something's wrong, but you're not listening.
Wow, that's pretty intense.
It is.
I knew stress was bad, but I didn't realize it could manifest in so many physical ways.
Oh, yeah.
And then, I mean, the article even mentions that all those suppressed emotions can lead to unhealthy coping mechanisms.
Really. Right, absolutely.
Like overeating, substance abuse,
even
isolating yourself from others.
Right, because you start to feel like you're the only one who's struggling.
Right.
And you're afraid to let anyone see that.
And that isolation, that's a key point, right?
It is.
Like this whole I'm fine facade.
Right.
It feeds into this idea that we need to be perfect.
Right.
That everyone else has their act together except for us.
And that's just not true.
It's so not true.
Nobody's perfect.
But it's easy to believe that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Especially like when you look at social media.
Especially on social media.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone's presenting this curated version of themselves.
Have you ever scrolled through your feed?
Oh, yeah.
And felt like, man, everyone else is living this like picture perfect life.
All the time.
And I'm here just like, you know,
barely holding it together.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it's so easy to fall into that trap.
It really is.
Of comparing yourself to others and feeling like you're not measuring up.
Right.
And that's where this whole I'm fine culture can really damage our relationships.
Cool.
Because authentic connection requires vulnerability.
Right.
How can we truly connect with others if we're not being honest about how we're feeling?
Like if we're always hiding behind this mask of perfection.
This mask of I'm fine.
How can we expect anyone to really know us, let alone support us?
Yeah, it's like you're building relationships on a foundation of sand.
Right.
It's not going to be very stable.
Right. And it's like, it's no wonder then that we all kind of walk around feeling incredibly lonely.
Yeah.
Even when we're surrounded by people.
Even when we're surrounded by people who love us.
Yeah.
Because we're not letting them see the real us. And yeah. That's what true connection is all about.
Okay, so this pressure to say, I'm fine.
Yeah.
It's not just like some random personal quirk,
yeah,
right?
It's not.
It's like deeply ingrained in our culture.
It is.
And our society and the expectations.
Yeah, I mean, think about all the messages we get from, you know, the media, from our families, from our workplaces that tell us to suppress our true feelings.
Right.
To not be too much.
Don't be so dramatic.
Yeah, don't be so sensitive.
Yeah.
You know, all of those things.
And it's like we're constantly being told to, like, shove our feelings under the rug and pretend like everything's okay.
And that's just not healthy.
Okay, so let's unpack some of those cultural and societal pressures that are contributing to this whole I'm fine phenomenon.
Yeah, okay.
What are some of those?
Well, the article points to things like toxic positivity.
Oh, toxic positivity.
Have you heard of that?
Yeah, I have heard of that.
It's like this idea that we should always be upbeat and positive, even when life is throwing us curveballs.
Yeah, it's like you can't have a bad day without someone telling you to just, you know, look on the bright side.
Exactly.
Or like cheer up.
Yeah.
And it's almost like you're not allowed to.
Right.
To feel those negative emotions.
And it's this relentless pressure to be happy all the time, which can actually make us feel worse.
Totally.
Because it's invalidating our genuine emotions.
Right, because like you're feeling something.
Yeah.
And then someone's telling you to feel something else.
Not
it's like,
this,
well,
you're being gaslighted.
Yeah, almost.
In a way.
My feelings aren't valid.
Right, your feelings aren't valid.
Right.
And the article also talks about gender stereotypes.
Okay.
As being a major contributor to this I'm fine trap.
Okay, how so?
Well, think about it, you know.
Yeah.
Men are often pressured to be stoic and unemotional.
Yeah.
Because showing vulnerability is seen as weak.
Be a man.
Exactly. Be a man. You know, suck it up.
Right.
Don't cry.
Don't be a wimp.
Yeah, all of that.
Yeah.
And then on the other hand, women are often expected to be the caregivers.
Yeah.
Putting everyone else's needs before their own.
Right.
Even if it means sacrificing their own well-being.
It's like we're all trapped in these roles.
It is. It's like these rigid roles that society has kind of imposed on us.
Yeah, and it limits our ability to express our full range of emotions.
Exactly.
Right? Because like you can't be sad if you're a man, or you know, you can't be angry if you're a woman, and it's
not realistic.
No.
And it's not healthy.
And we can't forget about workplace culture.
Right. Absolutely. Which can also really contribute to this pressure.
Big time.
To appear fine all the time.
Yeah, because in many workplaces, productivity is prioritized above all else.
Right.
And so there's very little room for employees to acknowledge their struggles.
Or ask for help. Right.
Or ask for help. Exactly.
You're just supposed to show up and be a robot.
Yeah. It's like, leave your problems at the door.
Right.
We don't want to hear about them.
And just crank out that work.
Yeah. Just be productive.
And so it's no wonder that we all just kind of, you know, default to I'm fine.
As a way to navigate all of this.
Right. Just to survive all of this craziness.
The craziness of life and all the expectations.
Yeah. But here's the thing.
Yeah.
This article makes a really powerful argument for why we need to challenge these norms.
I love that part of the article.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And start embracing vulnerability as a strength.
Yeah. It's so counterintuitive because we're so conditioned to think of vulnerability as a weakness.
Yes.
But it's actually the opposite.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of courage
to
be vulnerable.
To let people see the real you.
Yeah.
And all.
Yeah.
So how do we shift from seeing vulnerability as something to be ashamed of to something to be embraced?
Well, the article actually brings in some research from Brené Brown.
Brené Brown,
kind of like the vulnerability guru.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and her research shows that vulnerability is actually the birthplace of joy, belonging, and love.
Oh, wow.
And think about it. What? Like, you wouldn't feel truly seen by someone if you never let them see your, you know, less polished side.
Right, like your imperfections.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so it's in those moments of vulnerability that we really connect with each other on a deeper level.
It's such a good point.
Yeah.
It's like we're all trying to present these perfect versions of ourselves to the world.
Right.
But that's not real connection.
It's not real.
Real connection comes from letting people see flaws and all.
And the article emphasizes that. Mm-hmm. When we stop saying, I'm fine, mm-hmm. and start being honest about how we feel, we actually give ourselves permission to heal, to grow, and to connect with others in a more genuine way.
So it's like, it's almost like a paradox, right?
It is.
Like the more we try to hide our true selves, the more disconnected we become.
Exactly.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense in theory.
Mm-hmm.
But how do we actually break free from this I'm fine trap?
That's a great question.
Like, it feels so ingrained at this point.
It does.
Like, it's almost like an automatic response.
You're right. It is.
So how do we start to change that?
Well, that's a great question, and that's where we'll pick up in part two. We're going to dive into some practical strategies.
Okay, cool.
Outlined in the article. For embracing vulnerability and creating more authentic connections.
I'm excited to hear it.
Stay tuned.
We'll be right back. Okay, welcome back to our deep dive into I'm fine and all its dangers.
Yeah.
In part one, we really explored how this phrase can really mask some deeper emotional struggles.
Right.
And how this habit of suppressing our emotions,
mm-hmm.
it can really have some serious consequences for our well-being, our relationships.
Yeah.
You know, we even talked about how I'm fine can create this whole illusion of perfection,
mm-hmm.
leading to isolation and just a real disconnect from the people around us.
And it keeps us stuck.
Yeah, yeah.
Totally in the cycle.
And remember, we talked about all those pressures to appear fine,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, toxic positivity,
mm-hmm.
rigid gender stereotypes,
mm-hmm.
demanding workplace cultures. It's
exhausting.
It's exhausting, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like we're constantly being told to just shove our feelings under the rug.
Right.
And pretend like everything's okay.
But it's not.
Yeah.
And you know, the good news is you don't have to stay stuck in this trap.
Okay.
The article we're discussing, it actually offers some really practical advice.
Okay.
For breaking free from the I'm fine habit.
I like practical.
Yes.
So give it to me.
Okay.
What are some actionable steps we can take to start, you know, ditching I'm fine and being more real?
Well, the first step is becoming more aware of your emotions.
Okay.
Instead of pushing those feelings aside, the article really encourages you to get curious about them.
Okay.
You know, ask yourself, what am I really feeling right now? And why?
So it's like we need to become emotional detectives, right?
Yes, exactly.
Investigating our inner world instead of just trying to ignore it.
Yeah. And
that's kind of an interesting way to think about it.
Yeah. And the article even suggests, you know, some tools you can use for this kind of inner exploration, like journaling or meditation.
Okay.
Or even therapy.
Yeah. I've dabbled in journaling before.
Yeah.
And I found it to be really helpful for processing those messy emotions.
Right.
And figuring out what's going on, like, beneath the surface.
And it's almost like giving yourself permission.
Yeah.
To feel without judgment.
Which can be surprisingly difficult.
It can.
Like, to just, you know, let yourself feel whatever you're feeling.
Yeah.
And not judge yourself for it.
It's hard. Yeah. Especially when you've been, you know, conditioned to suppress those emotions for so long.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And for those who prefer like a more body-centered approach,
mm-hmm.
meditation can be a great way to kind of tune into your physical sensations.
Okay.
And become more aware of, you know, how your body's responding to those different emotions.
Like your body is giving you signals, right?
Exactly. It's like your body's trying to communicate with you. But we're often so busy in our heads.
In our heads, yeah.
That we're not listening.
And not listening to our bodies.
And so meditation can help you kind of slow down and really tune in.
Okay.
And of course, there's therapy.
Oh, yeah.
Therapy. Which, you know, I think sometimes we forget that it's okay to ask for help.
Totally. Yeah.
You know, and therapy can provide such a safe and supportive space to explore your emotions
mm-hmm.
with a trained professional who can really help you develop healthier coping mechanisms.
Totally.
And break free from those ingrained patterns of emotional suppression.
It's like having a coach, right?
Yes, exactly.
For your mental and emotional well-being.
Exactly. Someone who can guide you through that process.
Okay, I like that.
Of understanding and managing those big feelings.
The article also talks about this whole idea of practicing radical honesty, which, to be honest, sounds a little intimidating.
I can see why that might feel daunting.
Yeah.
Especially if you're used to kind of keeping everything bottled up.
Yeah, exactly.
But remember, radical honesty doesn't mean you have to share, you know, your deepest, darkest secrets with everyone you meet.
Okay.
It's more about starting small.
Okay.
Maybe with trusted friends, family members, a therapist.
Okay. Okay.
You know, people who you feel safe with.
So instead of automatically saying, I'm fine, when someone asks you how you're doing, you could try saying something like, I don't know, actually I've been feeling a bit down lately. Or,
or I'm struggling with something, but I'm not really ready to talk about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But just acknowledging that you're not okay can be a huge step in the right direction.
Right, and it's about, you know, being more intentional with your words and just allowing yourself to express your true feelings.
Yeah.
Even if it's just a little bit at a time.
And it really is like dipping your toe in the water before you know, take the plunge into the deep end.
And the more you practice this radical honesty, the easier it becomes.
It does. It really does.
It's like building a muscle.
Yeah. It's like anything else. The more you do it, the stronger you get.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
And here's another important point the article makes.
Oh.
You don't have to be perfect.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
In fact, trying to be perfect is often what gets us into trouble.
That's so true.
In the first place.
It's like we're all chasing this ideal of perfection that doesn't even exist.
That doesn't.
You know, it's exhausting. And it just sets us up for disappointment.
And it prevents us from really connecting with others because nobody can relate to perfect.
No.
So instead of striving for perfection, what if we focus on normalizing imperfection?
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
Both for ourselves and for others.
So it's about embracing the messy, imperfect reality.
The beautiful messiness.
Of being human.
Yeah, like we all have flaws, we all make mistakes.
And that's what makes us interesting.
And that's okay.
It makes us unique.
Yeah.
It makes us who we are.
Yeah, and one of the best ways to normalize imperfection, right?
Yeah.
Is to share our own imperfections with others.
Absolutely.
Like when you show up authentically,
mm-hmm.
flaws and all,
yeah.
it gives other people permission to do the same.
And that's when a real connection happens.
Yeah.
When we can let go of the facade and just be ourselves.
It's like we're breaking down those walls of isolation and creating a space where we can all feel safe to be our true selves.
Exactly.
Now, I think it's important to acknowledge that.
Yeah.
You know, breaking free from this I'm fine habit. It's a journey, right?
It's a journey.
It's not a destination.
Not a destination.
It's not like you just wake up one day and you're like, I'm never going to say I'm fine again.
Right. And you're perfectly vulnerable.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
and it's all good.
There will be times when you slip back into old patterns.
Oh, for sure.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
The key is to be kind to yourself and to keep practicing.
So it's about progress, not perfection.
Exactly. Progress, not perfection.
And if you find yourself struggling along the way, remember that seeking professional help is always an option.
Always.
Like, there's no shame in reaching out for support.
Absolutely not.
If you need it.
And there are so many amazing therapists out there
who
can really help you on this journey.
And the beautiful thing is, like, as you start to embrace this vulnerability and this authenticity in your own life, you can have like a ripple effect.
It does.
On the people around you.
It does.
You know, you might inspire others.
Absolutely.
To do the same.
And that's how we create change.
Yeah.
You know, it starts with each of us.
Right.
Making that choice.
To be more real.
To be more real.
Yeah.
To be more vulnerable.
To be more vulnerable.
To be more authentic.
Yeah, and to create a more, like, compassionate
yes.
and connected world.
I love that.
Yeah.
You know, imagine a world where I'm fine is no longer the default response.
Yeah.
But it's an invitation to share.
Ooh, that's good.
Really going on beneath the surface.
Yeah, it's good.
A world where vulnerability is seen as a strength.
Yeah.
Not a weakness.
Yeah.
And where we can all feel safe to be our true, messy, imperfect selves.
It's a beautiful vision.
It is.
And it all starts with each of us, right?
It does.
Making a conscious choice.
Yes.
To break free from this harmful habit
mm-hmm.
and embrace a more authentic way of living.
And it's not always easy, but it's so worth it.
So worth it.
Yeah.
This has been such a rich and insightful conversation. I feel like I have so many new tools and perspectives for navigating this whole vulnerability thing and building more authentic connections.
I'm so glad to hear that.
Yeah.
And remember, this is an ongoing journey.
Yes.
You know, it's about taking small steps each day to cultivate more vulnerability, more compassion, more authenticity in your life.
Yeah. And it's about creating a world, right?
Yes.
Where I'm fine is no longer the default, but it's an invitation.
An invitation.
To share what's really going on beneath the surface.
Beneath the surface.
A world where vulnerability is a strength.
Yes.
And where we can all feel safe to be our true selves.
Our true, messy.
Messy.
Imperfect selves.
Imperfect selves.
Yes.
What stands out to you the most about all of this?
I think for me, it's the power of vulnerability.
Yeah.
You know, it's not about oversharing or airing your dirty laundry. It's really about choosing to be real.
Yeah.
Even when it's scary.
Even when it's scary.
Yeah.
And it can be scary.
It can be very scary. Yeah. But the rewards are so great.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah.
So where do we go from here?
That's a great question.
What's the next step on this journey to a more authentic life?
Well, that's what we're going to be talking about in part three.
Okay.
So stay tuned.
All right. Welcome back to the final part of our deep dive on, you know, the dangers of I'm fine.
Yeah.
And we've really uncovered how this seemingly harmless phrase can actually, you know, mask a lot of inner turmoil.
Yeah.
And we've explored some practical steps for breaking free from this habit of just saying I'm fine all the time.
So. Yeah, it's been quite a journey.
Yeah, it has. It has. It really has. Right. So we've talked about, you know, becoming more aware of our emotions, practicing radical honesty, normalizing imperfection, both in ourselves and others.
Absolutely.
But, you know, I feel like there's still more to uncover here.
Oh, yeah.
About, you know, really cultivating vulnerability and building those deeper connections. So what else can we do?
Well, one powerful practice is learning to set healthy boundaries.
Okay.
You know, and that's all about honoring your own needs and limits and communicating them clearly to others.
So it's hard to be vulnerable with someone if you constantly feel like your boundaries are being crossed.
Exactly. Yeah. Setting boundaries is a way of protecting your emotional well-being and creating a space where you feel safe to open up. It's about saying no when you need to.
Okay.
And being clear about what you're comfortable with, what you're not.
Okay. That sounds good in theory.
Yeah.
But setting boundaries, like how do you actually put that into practice?
Right.
Because it feels a little confrontational.
It can. It can feel a little confrontational at first, but it gets easier.
Okay.
You know, the more you practice it.
Okay.
So I would say start by identifying your needs and limits. Like what are the things that drain your energy or make you feel uncomfortable?
Yeah.
And once you're clear on those, then you can start communicating them to others in a calm and assertive way.
So like, for example, if a friend is, you know, constantly venting to you about their problems and it's starting to feel like a little overwhelming.
Yeah.
You could say something like, you know, I care about you and I want to support you, but I need to take a break from this conversation right now.
Yeah.
Can we talk about something else?
Yeah.
Or maybe reschedule for another time?
Exactly. Yeah. You're acknowledging their feelings while also honoring your own need for space.
Okay. How about that?
And remember, it's okay to say no.
Okay.
To requests or invitations that don't align with your priorities or your energy levels.
That's a good reminder, because I think, you know, a lot of us, myself included, we feel pressured to say yes to everything.
Yeah.
Even when we're already stretched so thin.
And that can lead to resentment.
Oh, yeah.
And burnout.
Yeah, totally, totally.
You know, so saying no can actually be an act of self-care.
Right.
You know, it can free up more time and energy for the things that truly matter to you.
Okay. The article also touches on the importance of self-compassion.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, self-compassion is all about treating yourself with the same kindness and understanding that you would offer to a good friend. It's about recognizing that we're all imperfect. We all make mistakes.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
That is so important because, I mean, let's face it, we tend to be much harder on ourselves than we would ever be on anyone else.
It's true.
Yeah.
We often have this inner critic that's just constantly berating us for our flaws and failures.
Yes.
And self-compassion is about silencing that critic.
Okay.
And replacing it with a voice of kindness and support.
So how do we cultivate more self-compassion in our lives?
Well, one practice is to simply notice when you're being self-critical.
Yeah.
And then try to reframe those thoughts in a more compassionate way.
Okay.
Like, for example, instead of saying to yourself, I'm such an idiot for making that mistake.
Yeah.
Try saying, everyone makes mistakes. It's okay. I'm learning from this.
Yeah. It's about giving yourself the same grace and forgiveness
exactly.
that you would offer to someone you love.
And another aspect of self-compassion is taking care of your basic needs.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know, are you getting enough sleep?
Yeah.
Are you eating nourishing foods?
Mm-hmm.
Are you moving your body in ways that feel good?
All those basic things that we sometimes let slip.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And when you neglect your basic needs, it's harder to show up as your best self in your relationships and in life in general.
Right. Yeah. You're just
so taking care of yourself is a really important part of self-compassion.
This has been such a rich and insightful conversation.
Yeah, it has.
I feel like I have so many new tools and perspectives.
I'm so glad.
For navigating this whole vulnerability thing and building more authentic connections.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
I'm so glad to hear that. And remember, you know, this is an ongoing journey. It's about taking those small steps each day.
Yeah. To cultivate more vulnerability, more compassion, more authenticity in your life.
And it's about creating a world where, you know, I'm fine.
Right.
Is no longer the default response.
Right.
But it's an invitation to share what's really going on beneath the surface.
Exactly.
The world where vulnerability is a strength.
Yes.
And where we can all feel safe to be our true, messy, imperfect selves.
Beautifully said.
So what are your final thoughts on all of this?
I just want to leave our listeners with this one question.
Okay.
What would happen if we all made a conscious effort to be a little bit more vulnerable, a little bit more honest, a little bit more compassionate with ourselves and with each other?
It's a powerful question.
It is.
And who knows? Maybe the answer is a world where we can all truly thrive.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive.
And until next time, keep exploring, keep connecting, and keep being real.